court appointed is meant to be for entertainment purposes and basic legal information only.
Nothing in this podcast should be considered as legal representation nor legal advice.
Only use the knowledge presented herein to dazzle your friends or possibly win bar trivia. Perspective on legal frivolity. I'm your co-host, Mike Meadows. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurl. And I am just a dude.
Well, Tommy, I intended to address the elephant in the room when we first started this about the fact that you have now met Jimmy Buffett in person.
Well, I'm wasting away again in Margaritaville. Boy, was I wasted away. Boy, was it great. I was wasted away just by the sheer awesomeness, not by the drinks, but by the sheer awesomeness.
Well, I had no idea that you all were going to Jimmy Buffett, much less that you were going to meet Jimmy Buffett.
Yes. Well, we, you know, Justin did some work with Jimmy Buffett prior to his musical.
This is Justin McElroy, by the way.
Of My Brother and Me fame.
That's right.
And he, just in case somebody doesn't already listen to it, but he had done some work on the red carpet, and they had Jimmy on their show. He actually guested on their show for one of their episodes.
Yeah.
And so anyway, we went to the concert last year. They came to Cincinnati. We took Charlie to her first Jimmy Buffett concert. So we went to it. So he happened to mention, well, when you're in town in Cincinnati, we usually go to that concert. So, you know, we'll probably be there. Jimmy said, we're going to hook you up. And they had tickets for us and VIP backstage passes. We got to go up on stage before the concert and take pictures up on stage. And then the man himself came out and met us. We went to his VIP party with had free margaritas and beers and appetizers. It was just unbelievable. I was just couldn't believe it. I didn't even have to stay for the show. I was so blown away. It would have been good enough, but I did stay for the show.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And the reason I really want to bring it up is the first time I've talked to you since the show, so I really wanted to hear about it.
Yeah, it was great. Couldn't believe it. Now, we didn't know for sure if we were going to meet him.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew we were hooked up with tickets, and that was good enough, and the VIP room and everything. That was really neat, because usually we were back there in the lawn.
Yeah, that's where when I've gone to see him, I'm always back in the lawn.
And last year we had to set up like a perimeter around Charlie to protect her from the masses, because it's like before the concert starts, everybody's in their nice little groups, and they're all sitting around friendly, and everybody's chatting and waving and everything. The show starts, and it's a mad rush. They don't care who you are. They just run over you trying to get as close as they can, staking out territory. Forget it. They walk right through your blanket and your kids and everything
else. It's like Braveheart.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's unbelievable. They just trample everything there is. There is no dignity left in the world. So,
well, that's pretty awesome.
So we were sitting in seats. No one could take our seats.
That's right.
They couldn't trample over us. Although
they can take our freedom, but they can't take our seats.
That's right. But the thing is everybody stands the whole time anyway. So the seats are just before the show starts. Once the show starts, you're standing the whole time.
That's where you set your beer when you're not drinking it.
Yeah, that's right. And they did say, although they do have nice little cup holders on the back of the seats in front of you. I've never seen that before.
Oh, what do you do if you're in the front row?
Well, you have to hold it, I guess.
It's a price I'm willing to pay.
There was one of the girls in front of us got a little carried away. She was standing on her seat and dancing around, and I was a little worried because those things will fold up on you.
Oh, yeah,
you know? And one of the ushers or whatever, security people, they came rushing in along through there, and she was like, I didn't see her coming. She poked me on the shoulder, and I looked around, and she said, get her, because she was right in front of me, and I reached up and tapped her, and she turned around. The lady said, get down off of there and don't let me see you back up there again. So they were swift. Swift justice was administered.
Well, I had kind of a very exciting thing happen to me before I came over to record this podcast.
Did you see Jimmy Buffett?
No, but I caught a Mewtwo on Pokemon Go.
Oh, well, that sounds exciting.
I was pretty pumped.
I saw a real person. Yours is like a Pokemon cartoon thing.
Oh. All right. I mean, catching Jimmy Buffett's pretty cool. Or seeing catching Jimmy Buffett.
I caught a Jimmy Buffett. Jimmy Buffett chew.
I threw a Pokeball at him, and he was like, what are you doing to me?
And then what was even cooler, Mary was talking to Sydney last night. She said, wait a minute, Justin got a phone call. He doesn't know who's from me. He said, oh, it's Jimmy. Jimmy who? Jimmy Buffett. He just called him to chat. He called him he called Justin the last great family man. He said, "You really did. You said you were going to come with your family. You brought the whole damn family." He said, "They all were there."
Well, this episode is not about Pokemon again or Jimmy Buffett or anything like that, but I saw a very interesting article the other day that kind of piqued my interest, and I messaged Tommy about it, and we thought we'd do an episode about it.
So we're doing it. It's to close out season two.
This is the end of season two finale?
Yeah, this is the last show for season two. Next show will be the first one for season three.
We just arbitrarily choose our seasons.
No, we don't. This is 104. There's 52 weeks in a year. So that's 52 and 52 is 104. See, I did math in my head right there. So that means that's the end of 2 years. So this is the third one. So it's the third season.
I'm truly astonished. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
So there's actually a basis for it.
Yeah, there's actually a basis. I didn't just decide it. I would have picked a better number than 104. Well,
we ended season one just kind of arbitrarily with a random number, didn't we?
Well, Audio Boom did that. they didn't make us, but I mean, it was kind of like when we started Audio Boom, we felt like we were starting a new season.
Oh.
So shortly after, just a few weeks into Audio Boom, which we hadn't even been on for a year, we changed to season two.
Oh, okay.
Because it was a new season because we were with Audio Boom. And we still are. Thank you, Audio Boom.
So this is the cliffhanger. That means somebody's going to have to die during this podcast.
Yes. Or you'll have to think somebody's dead.
I don't know. There's only two people sitting in this room right now. And I know it ain't going to be me, Tommy.
Well, I can't run. So it's just fight or die for me. There's no running anymore.
Well, the article I saw had an interesting title. And it said, could Joe Biden pick Barack Obama as his running mate? And it said, yes, but, ? So it was kind of interesting. They called him a butt. So it got me thinking about this.
You know, he needs a one wipe Charlie.
It might be a pretty interesting topic. So now the basis for this is, and we're going to do a little bit of background first, and I'll talk about the article. But the 22nd Amendment is what limits the terms that a president can be president. And basically it reads like this. Section 1, no person shall be elected to the office of the president more than twice, and no person who has held the office of president or acted as president for more than 2 years of a term to which some other person was elected president shall be elected to the office of the president more than once. But this article shall not apply to anyone holding office of the president when this article was proposed by Congress, and shall not prevent any person who may be holding the office of president or acting as president during the term within which this article becomes operative from holding the office of president or acting as president during the remainder of such term. Section 2, this article shall be inoperative unless it shall have been ratified as an amendment to the Constitution by the legislature to 3/4 of the several states within 7 years from the date of its submission to the Congress. So basically they lay out there and says that you can only be elected president two terms. And that if you serve more than 2 years of somebody else's term, that counts for one, basically.
Right. Now, and you hear the wording in that about how it wasn't going to take place until after or the current president didn't apply to and things
correct.
Like that. You know who they were trying to protect?
Yeah, FDR.
Right.
Because at that point,
he was in the midst of his marathon at that point.
That's right. Congress approved the amendment on March 24th, 1947, and basically put it to the states for ratification at that point. The process was completed on February 27, 1951, after the amendment had been ratified by the requisite 36 of the then 48 states, because Alaska and Hawaii were not admitted as states yet, and then the provisions came into force. And basically, like you said, the grandfather clause was meant to protect FDR and his run for president or whatever, because he was already in the midst of it.
Mm-hmm. He was already in his third term, I think.
And this was, I think,
or getting ready to run for his third term.
Right. And so essentially, basically, this was kind of a reaction to FDR essentially holding the office for so long. It was kind of a knee-jerk reaction to it. And there's some politics behind it as well. But basically, they thought that we don't really want to have presidents serving term after term after term like this.
Well, and it had, I mean, the precedent went back to George Washington.
It did, yeah.
George Washington said that two terms is enough, and they also were very sensitive to the monarchy. And they didn't want their country to be a monarchy. And they felt that letting somebody constantly be reelected would set up a sort of king.
Yeah, the delegates to the Constitutional Convention of 1787 actually considered this issue as well. And a lot of people, some including Alexander Hamilton, maybe you've heard of him, and James Madison, they actually supported having a lifetime appointment for the presidents, and others really wanted to have fixed-type appointments. So there were some that actually wanted to say, hey, let's appoint somebody for life and do away with this.
Well, it would make it easier.
It would, actually, yeah.
And you almost have to go back to the 12th Amendment to where all of this, you know, first started getting worded out, because the original Constitution did not define a lot of the terms of the presidency.
Well, you're going to have to hold your horses here, because I'm going to get into that.
Well, all right then. Whoa, Nelly. Whoa, very real horse.
that's a shout out to the Shrek play that Mary and Tommy just did.
Our Lord Farquaad came riding in on a little rocking horse, and that's what he would say every night when he would come right in. Whoa, very real horse.
You know, as a funny aside, actually, I just caught a Mewtwo with Lord Farquaad. Owen was at the raid with me as well, so we both have Mewtwos now. So, kind of funny. So, yeah, as you said, George Washington basically retired after two terms and kind of established that tradition of two terms. There actually was some attempts after his presidency to pass different amendments which limited it to two terms, but they never really could come to agreement on that. It kind of just died, or, you know, there wasn't enough support for it.
Well, I think also you still had a distrust going on, because the people that were running the government were basically the monarchy. I mean, they were the elite. They were the landowners. They were the rich.
Yeah.
And they didn't think that the common man had the sense to make those kind of decisions. That was, remember, their electoral college, you could vote for president, but the electors were the only ones that mattered.
Yeah.
Their votes from each state. So the actually your vote didn't really matter.
Yeah, the gentrified landholders.
Correct.
The you know, thinking about, though, presidents serving more than 2 years, have you ever seen pictures of presidents when they first are sworn into office and then see them 8 years later?
Yeah.
I mean, they look awful.
Yeah, that's job's got to wear on you.
Oh, there's no doubt. I mean, I can't imagine a president wanting to do a third term in this day and age.
Well, there have been several that have talked about it.
There have. And it's been bounced around a little bit. Mm-hmm. So, as we said, the two-term tradition continued until FDR, and he actually was elected to four terms. But he died shortly after being elected to the fourth term, and that's when Harry Truman served most of that term.
Right.
Truman was then again elected after serving that portion of FDR's term, but chose not to run again for what technically would have been his third term. But basically that grandfather clause would have protected him, so he could have actually done that quote-unquote third term. But he chose not to, so... Again, they had that grandfather language in there to kind of protect, I guess, Truman and FDR, really.
He was the last one that it applied to.
Yeah, he could have been. He was the last one who could have actually used the grandfather clause. Now, since coming into force in 1951, when enough of the states ratified it, West Virginia, I looked it up, actually didn't take any action on it. So we were neutral on that, I guess. I don't know.
I think Massachusetts voted against it.
Did
I read
it really?
An article about that, yeah.
The amendment has applied to six presidents who have been elected twice. It's Dwight Eisenhower, Richard Nixon, Ronald Reagan, Bill Clinton, George Bush, and Barack Obama. And it's also been applied to two who entered office interterm due to their predecessor's death, Lyndon Johnson and Gerald Ford. Mm-hmm. So it's actually come into play several times. Now, as we were talking about where you wanted to jump ahead, there's some interesting interplay between the 22nd and the 12th Amendment.
Yes, they are interplaying. Therefore, something like that, as a lawyer talk.
Therefore, before we forthwith get into the 12th Amendment, I think we have some motions which we need to address.
Well, yes, Your Honor, if you don't mind, we would like to approach the revolutionary bench to pay for court costs.
Hear, hear.
Well, for a Sam Adams, he brings us this message.
Who do we have on the docket, Tommy?
We have DollarShaveClub.com, our good old friends.
At DollarShaveClub.com.
That's right.
So, if you ever shower or brush your teeth or try to make your hair look presentable, which I hope you do, we've got good news for you.
I have from time to time.
Dollar Shave Club has lots of stuff to help you out.
Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best.
My shelves are lined with Dollar Shave Club products, which help me look good and feel good and get ready to go out and be presentable to the world.
I tell you, two of the things, their products that I've been using quite a bit recently, they have an aftershave lotion. It's not an aftershave lotion. It's after you shave lotion.
Mm-hmm.
And that feels really good. And then they have another that's a repair serum that you can put on. And when you get to be my age, you need some repairs.
Yeah.
I mean, I could go with, you know, like a mortar and pestle type thing to do the repair. But this serum is much better.
Have you tried using the serum on your knees?
No, I don't think it's going to help my knees. Nothing short of surgery is going to help my knees. But that's coming soon, too.
Well, I love the beard oil. It makes my beard feel luscious.
I don't have a beard, so therefore the no lusciousness. But I'm glad yours is. It looks luscious. Let me just tell you from here.
Why,
what flavor is it?
I don't know. I haven't tasted it. Dollar Shave Club. Yes, that Dollar Shave Club delivers everything you need to look, feel, and smell your best. You name it, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, toothpaste, hair gel, even a wipe that'll leave your tush feeling tingly clean.
It's for your butt. I'm a big fan of their Amber and Lavender Calming Body Cleanser. Never smelled anything like it. Good luck finding a product that great at the store.
And all of Dollar Shave Club's products are made with top shelf ingredients that won't break your budget. You'll feel the difference. Plus, shipping is included with your membership.
All right, now, here's a great way to try a bunch of Dollar Shave Club's products for just $5. You can get their Daily Essential Starter Set. It comes with body cleanser, one wipe Charlie's.
For your butt.
Their amazing butt wipes. Oh, well, they explain that if we waited, huh?
For your butt.
Their world famous shave butter.
Not for your butt.
And.
Or maybe so. I don't know.
And their best razor, also not for your butt. Although, if you need to shave it, shave it. It'll work. The Six Blade Executive. Now, let me put that back together because I so rudely interrupted myself. Their world-famous shave butter and their best razor, the Six Blade Executive.
And you can keep the blades coming for a few bucks a month and add in shampoo, toothpaste, or anything else you need for the bathroom. Check it all out at dollarshaveclub.com/court.
That's dollarshaveclub.com/court. Tell them Mike and Tommy sent you.
Well, I got a little distracted thinking about shaving your butt there. But to get back on topic.
You weren't supposed to think about shaving my butt. You're supposed to think about shaving your own butt.
There was some joke in some movie. I can't remember what it was. And something about shaving your butt and walking backwards. I can't remember what that was.
Oh, that's what... if I had a dog that looked like him, I'd shave its butt and walk it backwards.
Exactly. What was so that?
That wasn't a movie. That was just a saying. That was just a burn on somebody. Man, I had a dog that looked like you, and I shaved his butt and walked it backwards.
I thought that was in a movie.
We could make one.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting one. So the 12th Amendment.
Very long.
The 12th Amendment was ratified in 1804. So this came along before the 22nd Amendment, as you could possibly imagine.
12's before 22.
Yeah, exactly.
So it would have to.
I
reasoned that out.
12th Amendment states in part, it's kind of long, so I'm not going to read the whole thing, but no person constitutionally ineligible to the office of president shall be eligible to that of vice president of the United States.
So in other words, if you can't become the president, you can't become the vice president.
Right. But now the thing it says is that it says constitutionally ineligible. So you have to go back to the Constitution and see what it says. So it's clear that the 12th Amendment, if you look and see what it says that it talks about the original constitutional qualifications, which are age, citizenship, residency, and they apply to both the president and the vice president. And that's contained in Article 2, Clause 5. A natural-born citizen, at least 35 years of age, and an inhabitant of the United States for the last 14 years. So you have basically, the 12th Amendment says those are the requirements, the constitutional requirements to become president or vice president.
Right.
So
if you don't meet those requirements, then you can't be either.
Exactly. Now, there's an ambiguity there. Do you see it?
Yes.
The 22nd Amendment, basically, whereby a two-term former vice president could be elected vice president and then succeed to the presidency as a result of an incumbent's death, resignation, or removal from office. Basically,
he's not technically elected.
Exactly.
And it says he shall not be elected.
Exactly. The 22nd says elected.
And here's the thing. You have to think about the people that wrote this.
Yep.
They knew what they were doing. They were intelligent people. If they had... Well, you'd hope they were.
I hope so.
And if they had meant no one shall... You know, after serving two terms, you cannot serve a third term.
Yeah.
They could have put it that plain.
No president shall serve a third term.
Right. And so, therefore, you know, if you're the vice president and something happens to the president, then you become president and you can't. So that eliminates you from being vice president.
And that's what you would call a, I guess, a strict constructionalist type reading of that.
Right.
Where you can say, hey, this is what it says. If they wanted to say something different, they would have put it in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's one way to look at it. Another way to look at it would be you could say, well, you know, they probably didn't foresee this happening, which, you know, I think they probably did. But
well, yeah, I think you'd have to. But, you know, some of the background of that I thought was kind of funny. They didn't spell out a lot of these things on the president and vice president first in the Constitution because Washington was elected unanimously for both his terms.
Mm-hmm.
He was unanimously elected by all the electors. They all voted for him. So it was smooth sailing. There was no problem. And the thought at the time is, we want to keep party politics out of this. We want to elect a good man as our president. That's what we need to look for, someone who's smart and good for the country. They didn't want party politics to enter into it. So that lasted until, 1780 or something like that, or after, let's see, after Washington was elected,
yeah,
the next election went into party politics.
Yeah, we had a good run.
Yeah.
It was a good try.
I mean, that was it. It lasted as long as him. And then we had the need to start putting in other things after him because of the problems with the parties. Because the first one ends up almost in a dead heat, the first election after that. And then the next one actually ended up tied and had to be decided after 36 votes in Congress. And that was the one where Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr were tied, and Alexander Hamilton basically broke the tie. And that's what caused Hamilton and Burr to end up having a little gunplay there.
Getting into a little bit of a kerfuffle.
Yeah, fisticuffs.
So, as we said, some people think that the 22nd Amendment and the 12th Amendment would bar any two-term president from later serving as vice president, as well as from succeeding to the presidency from any point from the presidential line of succession. That's obviously not what you would agree to or what you think. Probably I don't think I do either, based on a strict reading of it. Some people contend that the original intent of the 12th Amendment concerns qualifications for service. That's the age, residence, citizenship. And the 22nd Amendment concerns qualifications for election. And basically, if you strictly apply it, that basically a former two-term president is still eligible to serve as vice president, but just not be elected as president.
Yeah, he is qualified. He just can't be elected.
Yeah. So this is actually, it's never been tested because no president has ever sought to be vice president after having two terms. There's been a couple of suggestions of it. In 1980, former President Gerald Ford was mentioned as a possible running mate for Ronald Reagan. And I guess there were maybe some negotiations between the camps, but nothing ever really happened. Hillary Clinton kind of jokingly said that she was considering naming Bill as her vice president, but she said she had been advised it would be unconstitutional. I think it might have been unwise, too. It's just my opinion. Yeah. But basically, we really don't have an answer to what's going to happen if this did take place. So,
yeah, and there are people that think that you could legally make a challenge to that.
Yeah. So laying that groundwork for, I'm going to go back to the article that I read, because it was a pretty interesting article, and it was in the Washington Post. Michael Dorff was who they kind of cited to on this, and he's a professor of constitutional law at Cornell University. And in 2000, he basically brought up that an Al Gore Bill Clinton ticket could withstand legal scrutiny. He said that basically there was a case called Powell versus McCormack in 1968 that established precedent for this, which was a narrow reading of what is eligibility. So in that case, there was a U.S. House sought to prevent Adam Clayton Powell from being sworn in as representative, arguing that the Constitution gave them the ability to judge the qualifications to sit in the House. And the Supreme Court disagreed, basically saying that the House couldn't add new qualifications because he had met the strict requirements as laid out in the requirements for it. And so basically Dorff says that he interprets the Powell case to mean that when Constitution refers to qualifications or whether someone is qualified for an office, that's kind of a term of art. When we learn that the vice president has the qualifications for the office of presidency, that is also a term of art. We look to the part of the Constitution that tells us what it takes to be qualified to be president, and not having served two terms prior is not among them. So that's not, since basically that two terms thing is not actually listed in the Constitution itself, in the body of it, in that Article 2,
mm-hmm.
that it doesn't really matter. And he says that the 22nd Amendment, to my mind, is sort of a standalone provision. And that provision says elected. The drafters of this language knew the difference between getting elected to an office and holding an office. They could have said, just said no person may hold the office of presidency more than twice, but they didn't. So, kind of an interesting little distinction there.
Yes. I mean, and it's a, you know, it's people can say, you're going to have people that will come down on either side of that. They will say, well, you know what they meant.
Yeah.
Well, if that's what they meant, then why isn't that what they said? Because it's not like it would have been difficult to try to word it the proper way to cover every circumstance.
No.
It'd be very easy to say, if you've served two terms, you are ineligible to be vice president or president.
Well, you know, you kind of, you wonder where you draw the line, because I guess what, if somebody is the speaker of the House, I mean, they could be in line for succession as president as well. So does that bar them from holding that office? Well, or, you know, if they're the...
Yeah, how far do you go?
If they're the postal inspector, I mean, how far down is the postal inspector?
Yeah.
Can they not be that?
Yeah, well, so, that's what they said. What if George Bush had wanted to run as a senator from Texas, and then he was elected, you know, speaker or something like that?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, as a congressman then.
Yeah.
And he was elected Speaker of the House. Then
yeah.
What happens? Could he not be Speaker of the House because he could possibly be in line to the presidency?
Yeah.
But you have to actually be picked, though. I mean, that's yes, true. He is in line, but you have to be voted on and approved.
Yeah.
So you may not be voted on and approved.
Well, one of the interesting things Dorff also talks about is the distinction between running for the presidency and becoming vice president. And basically, when the challenge would arise to that kind of like a Biden-Obama candidacy, and whether or not it would be able to be litigated before the election or after. And he felt that it would come up at the Electoral College, where once Congress was basically asked to certify the results. He says there's a completely valid argument to be made that the country would never elect Barack Obama as vice president, of course, in part because it seems to violate the spirit of the 22nd Amendment. But if we did, it wouldn't actually become a constitutional question until after Election Day. Remember, we don't elect the president and vice president. The Electoral College does.
Yeah, we talked about that on that episode.
Yeah. So in theory, like, just there's a difference between running for this office and actually being elected to it. So the constitutional challenge wouldn't be ripe yet, essentially.
Now, I tell you one other way you would have a problem. States have their own election laws and who qualifies to be on a ballot.
Yeah.
It's possible that on a ticket such as Biden and Obama, if you had a Republican-run state, all the top officials in the state were Republican, they might determine Obama is not a qualified candidate. He can't be on our ballot.
Yeah, that's true. They do have different qualifications for it.
Yeah. And so, they could determine that he's not qualified and not show him in certain states.
I think there would probably be some constitutional challenges about that, I'm sure.
Well, I'm sure there'd be some lawsuits if that was, you know, actually considered and people challenged it. There's lawsuits over everything. Now you spill coffee in your lap and there's a lawsuit.
It's a pretty bad coffee spill. So I did say that basically it wouldn't be ripe until maybe went to Electoral College or Congress was asked to certify it. And that's kind of a legal term of art. So if something's not ripe for a lawsuit, meaning that it's not ready to be a lawsuit. Or the alternative to that is something is moot, meaning that...
until it happens, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, until it happens, it doesn't matter. Or if it already has happened and it's not going to happen again, then it would be considered moot.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of the ripe and moot are two legal terms that you might hear lawyers throw out sometimes.
Don't you hate when people say mute?
Mute.
Yeah, I hear that at times. That point's mute.
That's a mute point.
I can hear it, but it is not relevant.
No, I've never heard that or never said that.
I've heard people use that term interchangeably there. I knew what they meant, but it wasn't what they said.
I knew what they meant. They used sign language.
No, they still said mute.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it would be interesting to see in this day and age if somebody would actually want to try to run for vice president like that. I mean, for more than just like kind of basic constitutional, like trivia questions, I guess.
Well, you know that I understand I was reading some other information on this, and there were actually committees during Reagan's presidency and during Clinton's presidency that were exploring trying to overturn or set aside or make a new amendment to the 22nd Amendment so that you could get elected to another term.
Huh.
They actually explored that. Surprisingly enough, those are the only two presidents since the 22nd Amendment that actually had higher approval rankings in their second term than they did in their first.
Yeah.
All the other ones, it didn't. And they said that kind of what has happened by setting this up is it's almost like it's an automatic thing. There's only been a few exceptions where you didn't have one party that was in charge of the presidency for 8 years and the next election went to the other party.
Yeah, it's almost automatic.
Yeah. And it's almost like the people are saying, well, we got to have a change. And then they went through and they cited, well, here's what was going on at the end of Nixon's presidency. So this is why, you know, Gerald Ford couldn't win re-election. You know, Gerald Ford just finished out that one term that he was put in.
Yeah.
But he never was elected. When he ran for the election the next time, he lost. But it was because you had Watergate and you had a bunch of other things that
were too much stuff.
Yeah. And so the same type thing with all of them. After, you know, after Reagan, George H.W. Bush got elected, but just for the one term, because then you had a bunch of other stuff that came out after that. And then Clinton got elected. Then after Clinton, he went back to Bush. So it keeps rotating back and forth. So it's almost like it takes care of itself.
Yeah, it kind of writes itself. It's like a, I don't know, what, a broken clock's always right twice a day.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, even if we didn't have this law, the thought is it probably wouldn't matter. Nobody's going to get elected to three terms. I mean, unless somebody comes along that it absolutely breaks the mold from everybody else we've had. And like I say, there's only been two that were even more popular in their second term than they were in their first term.
Yeah.
All the rest of them, they were sinking as they went. And that's where you get the lame ducks and things like that that people talk about.
Yeah.
And they say they're not effective. But I could argue that both ways. Because you say, okay, you do more in your first term because you want to get elected to your second term. Then once you get elected to your second term, now you're ineffective because you don't care because you can't get elected again.
Yeah.
But I could also say, once you reach your second term, you could go do all these things. It doesn't matter what party you're with. It doesn't matter what everybody else's agenda is. You can't be reelected anyway. Why not spend those 4 years doing exactly what you think is the right thing to do?
Yeah.
As a human being and not as a political person.
And maybe that's why the parties switch after the second term. Because you're doing what you think should be done.
Back in the late 70s or early 80s, a committee headed up by Cyrus Vance. I don't know if you remember him. He was a Secretary of State, I believe, at one time.
I do not.
They tried to float out an amendment that would change it to 1 6-year term is all that a president could have. And he would never have to face re-election. The thought being exactly that. He could spend 6 years doing what him and his administration thinks is best for the country, as opposed to worrying about re-election and political ties and things like that.
I can't say I disagree with that. I kind of like that idea.
It was about a third support that was like third of the people thought it was a good idea, third of the people thought it was a bad idea, and another third thought it would have no effect.
Yeah.
So, you know, it never really went anywhere. It never really caught on. But that has been mentioned several times, is changing it to 1 6-year term.
I might be down for that. I kind of like that idea. I'd never heard that theory before.
Yeah, well, it's the political part of it. It's like our founding father said, they didn't want political parties to be the driving force behind our government. And it took Washington's 8 years, and after that, we reverted to it. We had 8 years of Camelot, and then we went downhill from there.
How far have we fallen?
Very. They said that some of Donald Trump's people are looking at trying to do away with that because he thinks that he could be elected for three terms. I mean, he hadn't made it to the second one yet, but it never hurts to start, and you can't ever start too early, you know. Hello? Is this thing on?
I'm speechless.
I mean, it's not a big public push or anything, but that they are exploring ways for him to legally be available to run for a third term.
Well, as long as NATO doesn't get in his way.
Oh, he's going to do away with them. He's going to ban them.
Yeah.
They're not paying their share.
Oh, my.
Well, I found one other interesting tidbit while I was researching this.
Ooh, I like tidbits.
Well, it's not exactly the same thing, but it followed along with it when I was looking up these amendments. Did you know that we have had 44 presidents, but we've had 48 vice presidents?
I didn't know that.
Yes, it's true.
Well, now, I know whenever, I guess whenever a vice president becomes president, they have to have a new vice president, don't they?
Well, they would.
Yeah.
But you've had some people, such as Thomas Jefferson, who had two different vice presidents. So he served two terms, and he had a different vice president
each term. Oh, yeah.
So, therefore, you had two vice presidents while you only had one president. The other thing is, even though Trump is our 45th president, he's actually only our 44th president.
Why is that?
Because you had Grover Cleveland, who was elected two different times, not consecutively.
Oh, okay.
So he was like the 22nd and 24th president.
I didn't know that. That is an interesting tidbit. Yeah. That'll help you with some trivia right there.
And there's only been a handful of ones that served with just one vice president that somewhere they didn't overlap. And I thought that it was interesting, like Abraham Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
His first term, he had a vice president named Hannibal Hamlin. Second term, it was Andrew Johnson. So when he got shot shortly into his second term, Andrew Johnson became president.
Yeah.
We could have had a Hannibal Hamlin as president if it had happened sooner, or if he'd have kept him on for the second term.
That's a great name.
I know. Could you imagine President Hannibal Hamlin? He probably rides in on an elephant. And they were Republicans.
That's true. It's very fitting.
Here comes Hannibal and his elephants. But they go through, they have the breakdown, and I won't bore you with all the breakdown, but I thought it was interesting. And two of the vice presidents left in the middle of a term because of corruption charges.
Oh, and the vice president?
Yeah.
Who was that?
Spiro Agnew was one of them.
I thought Spiro Agnew might have been one, yeah.
Yeah, and then further back in time, there was another one. It was Schuyler Colfax, although it's spelled just like the Schuyler sister, so maybe it's Schuyler Colfax. He was Ulysses S. Grant's vice president. He was under investigation for corruption, so he didn't run for re-election, and Henry Wilson went in his place. There was also, seems like a real high number of them who died in office.
Yeah.
So one would die after a couple years, and you get another one in his place.
Whenever I hear Spiro Agnew's name, it always makes me think of a Jimmy Buffett song.
Yeah.
It's kind of a deep cut. It's from his Before the Beach album.
Uh-huh.
It's called Captain America.
Yeah.
And says, Captain America, you're grand. Oh, Spiro Agnew, eat your heart out. Captain America is our man.
Yeah.
So I think that might be the first time I heard Spiro Agnew's name.
Do you know what state Spiro Agnew was the governor of before he became the vice president?
I do not.
Maryland.
Well, didn't know that. How'd you know that?
I lived in Maryland at the time.
Oh, well, there you go.
So I remembered that. He was the governor there and then became vice president.
Well, now we have a couple updates from different podcasts we've done, so we thought we'd get into those.
Well, not different podcasts. It was our podcast. Just different episodes.
Different.
We confused people with that one other time.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
Using that terminology.
Different episodes of our podcast called Court Appointed, which you're listening to now in case you're confused.
Yes. Don't listen to any other podcast. Just listen to this one.
Well, listen to other podcasts, but don't go listening for other tidbits of information like this on other podcasts because it's just ours.
Yeah, that's right. Something like that. But when we say other podcasts, we mean our own. We're not referring to anybody else's.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just not very smart in saying it that way.
Talking's hard. We did an episode about the corruption in the West Virginia Supreme Court of Appeals, and recently another justice has, a justice has resigned. So there's one that's been suspended, and there's one that's been... that's resigned is Menace Ketchum. He's actually from here in Huntington.
Yeah.
And so now the Supreme Court is down to three justices.
You know what happened to Menace Ketchum? They caught him. He'd catch him and they caught him.
Yeah, I don't know.
But they're doing the investigation. The House of Delegates was convened, like we said, in that special session. They're doing the investigation and this stuff's coming out. And it's just like we saw in those other states where things like that happened. They resign rather than be removed, because if you get removed, guess what you don't get?
What, pension?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you resign, everything goes away, and you get your pension.
Yeah.
That's not right. Tell me any other business that happens in other than the government.
I think it's just, I'm kind of, sad state of affairs for our highest court in West Virginia to go through this.
There may not be any of them left by the time they finish.
I don't know. Anyway, that was an update to that story. Another interesting thing is that basically we talked about... Emmett Till. And Emmett Till was 14 years old when he was killed. He was actually from Chicago, and he was visiting his family down in Mississippi. And he was beaten and murdered by two white men who were later acquitted of the crime. And basically, the story goes that he had whistled at one of the men's wife, who was a grocer or something like that. And for whatever reason, now more than six decades later, they have opened up an investigation into this murder because of the discovery of new information. The Justice Department. Now, the story is that nobody really knows what the new information is or what happened, because basically the two men who were the ones who were on trial for this were essentially, they're dead now. I mean, they're not around anymore. So it's kind of like, what's the new information here? So,
yeah. What are you going to do to them about it anyway? Dig them up and put them in jail?
Well, they should.
I don't think that'd be helping anybody.
I know. But that was just kind of an interesting update. I saw in the news today about one of our other episodes of our podcast, which we talked about.
Yeah, see, we've learned how to correctly identify that we are talking about our own podcast.
That's right. Well, do you have any updates?
No, I'm still floating around from Margaritaville.
You're still wasted away?
Yeah.
I'm a little jealous.
Well, you should be. I told him, I said I had two guys on my bucket list that I wanted to meet one day, and mm-hmm. that was one of them. So half my bucket list is filled out.
Who's the other?
Clint Eastwood.
Oh.
I don't think I'm going to get to see Clint.
You should have been sitting in that chair on stage when he was talking to it.
I should have been that chair.
You should have been that chair.
Yeah.
You could be that chair.
I could be that chair. I'm not that good of an actor.
Well, I think that's going to bring us to
Legal Briefs.
So Legal Briefs is the part of the show where we go over different legal terms and things we talked about. And I got some doozies for you today, Tommy.
Doozies?
Doozies. What are the constitutional requirements to be president or vice president of the United States as laid out in the Constitution?
Age. Mm-hmm. You have to be of a certain age. You have to be a natural born citizen. And you have to have lived here at least for the last 14 years.
That's right. You have to be 35 years of age is the actual age. So that's in Article 2, Clause 5 of the Constitution.
I thought it was strange that they arrived at 14 years. I wondered if that had to do with, at that time, 1776.
Average life expectancy?
Well, or just the certain people had only been there for a certain amount of time, so it was written specifically to make them eligible. Maybe eliminate some others that had come over here from England in the last few years.
Yeah, look at Robert Stevenson over there. He's been here 14 years. We need to be here 14 years, by God.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I mean. I mean, that sounds pretty specific. Why 14?
Yeah.
Why not 10 or 20 or 25?
Yeah.
Or 5? I mean, why 14? That just sounds very specific to me. I think they were either trying to eliminate some or include some.
Well, they had to have been a natural-born citizen, so maybe they were trying to eliminate people who had lived abroad for a significant portion of their life and maybe aren't in touch with what's going on, or possibly to keep outside influences away. So basically you have somebody who's technically a natural born citizen, but they've lived, you know, over in Mother Russia for the past 14 years. And they're coming back to supplant our idea of democracy.
Hmm. And that's why Arnold can never be the president. He was not born here.
He should go back in time and be born here.
Yes, and come back as a robot.
So the next question is, what is the 22nd Amendment?
The 22nd Amendment is the one that more clearly outlines the how long you can be president, because it says that nobody shall be elected more than two consecutive terms.
That's right. It doesn't say served. It says elected.
Elected so, two terms, not yeah. consecutive, just yeah. two terms.
And then well, the interplay with that is the 12th Amendment. And what does the 12th Amendment say?
The 12th Amendment says that the president will get elected by the Electoral College.
It does say that, yes.
And it says that, and it says that the president and the vice president have to be voted on separately, too.
Yeah.
Because before, they were all just voted, and then whoever got the most votes was president, and whoever got the second most was vice president.
Yeah.
So it said that you had to name who it was that you were voting for.
Yeah, but the other thing it says is that basically, in order to be president or vice president, you have to meet the constitutional requirements, which we talked about.
To be president.
Yeah, the first one. So
yeah.
The age, the residency thing and all that. So mm-hmm. Now, I threw this in there. I don't know if you picked up on this. the difference between ripeness and mootness.
Ripeness and mootness. Ripeness has to do with, like, you can't challenge something until it actually comes to be.
Yep.
Just because somebody might do it, you can't sue over it. And then mootness means, like, well, yeah, it did happen, but it can't ever happen again, so there's no sense having a lawsuit about it.
That's right.
Because it's not deciding anything.
And that's on the interplays of, and I didn't mention this term, but judicial economy. So basically you're trying to not have extrajudicial proceedings regarding something that's not ripe or not moot or no longer moot or is moot or I don't know. I should just be moot.
Do you want some of this fruit? No, it's not ripe. It's moot.
It can't talk.
That's what the cow said that couldn't talk. Moot. I just made that one up.
Really? That hasn't made the rounds on the joke circuits yet?
I didn't hear that on late night or anything.
Might need to storyboard that one a bit more.
let's throw that one back up there and spitball it a while. There's a joke there somewhere, but that ain't it. This is utter nonsense. You know, I did tell Justin the other night when we were there at Jimmy Buffett and we sat down after meeting him and we sat out there waiting for him to get started. And I said, Justin, I have never been so proud that you're my son-in-law.
What did he say?
He looked at me and he smiled. He said, thank you, Tommy.
Oh, my gosh. Thanks to everybody for listening, and thanks to MCRB for use of their song, Doctor, Lawyer, Indian Chief.
And thanks to the McElroy Stable of Podcasts for the use of their recording studio. Their podcasts include Mabim Bam, Sawbones, and Still Buffering, as well as many other fine offerings. And please, take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, especially if you liked us. If you didn't, well then, not so much.
You're not supposed to say that.
You always edit that out though, right?
Usually. This has been Court Appointed. I'm Mike Meadows, your co-host. I'm a lawyer and a dude.
And I'm your other co-host, Tommy Smurf. And I'm just a dude.
Thanks for listening. So if you're still listening, you haven't figured out who died during season 2.
Well, we don't want to make you wait too long. We want you to have a fresh perspective ready for season 3.
It was Tommy during that cow joke.
I died miserably.